Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Matt Harmon does an awesome job breaking down all things football at Yahoo, but specifically the receiver position. He is a writer and analyst at Yahoo and created Reception Perception. Matt, welcome back on to Grant and Danny. We appreciate you. I want to start with the ongoing hold-in of Terry McLaurin. How good is he, and where would you rank him? What is he when you look at the wide receiver landscape nationally?
Yeah, and I appreciate you guys having me on, as always. And, yeah, I mean, Terry McLaurin has been one of my favorite wide receivers since he entered the league. Very explosive downfield separator, a guy who has some incredible scores against man and press coverage over the course of his career. You know, reception perception, I think, which for people who are not familiar, I'm going in and I'm charting the routes. I'm watching the film over an 8-game sample. I think it's really for a guy that hasn't been paired with great quarterback play, to be kind, over the course of his career outside of last season, it's really the perfect methodology to show, you know, what is so good about Terry McLaurin, because, again, we're isolating him from some of the messy surrounding variables he's played with. I think the guy has consistently been, you know, not an elite tier one receiver, you know, the guys like A.J. Brown or, you know, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, those type of players. But I think he's been a long-term guy that's been in kind of that second tier, like a fringe top 10 wide receiver. You know, it's always hard ranking wideouts because there's so many new, good, young prospects coming into the league. You know, Malik Nabers, Drake London a few years ago, Brian Thomas Jr., Ladd McConkey last year. You know, so it's always kind of hard for these veteran guys, like, where do you slot them in? But I still think right now when I'm looking at, like, my real-life wide receiver rankings, I think he's somewhere around that 12 to 14 mark. And obviously somebody that is coming off, from a production standpoint, the best season of his career because Jaden Daniels arrived there in Washington. I just love the way those guys' skill sets lined up.
Matt, would you be comfortable paying $30 million or a little bit more for Terry McLaurin?
The tough part, right, is the age. And if I have to guess, that's where, like, the holdup here is, because he is a sneaky older player. He came into the league in 2019 at an older age. He's going to turn 30. And look, I turned 34 over the weekend. I know it sounds stupid to be like, oh, this old man at 30 years old. But look, it's football. It's different. And I think that's probably the hang up here. But if I'm Terry McLaurin, I am looking at that DK Metcalf contract, a guy who's 28 years old, who's coming in at $33 million a year, and just straight up DK Metcalf. I know, look, it's different circumstances because he got traded, and that's when guys usually get extended, but this is a guy that is coming off the worst season of his career. Just over the last 3 years, like, forget reception perception and some of the advanced stuff, McLaurin is ninth in the NFL in receiving yards. Garrett Wilson is 10th. You know, DK Metcalf, who I just mentioned, is 12th. Like, he's produced at a level that I think would be commensurate with a $30 million wide receiver bare minimum. So I would hope that the two sides could compromise, and maybe if, you know, he wants Metcalf money, $33 million a year, Garrett Wilson, $32.5 million. You know, we can maybe come in the Amon-Ra St. Brown or Brandon Ayuk zone. Again, I know much younger players, but, you know, guys that have been productive sort of tier two receivers in their own rights.
He leads the league in contested catches since 2020 with 89. And you mentioned reception perception and some of those advanced numbers at other places. Like, the WAR from PFF I saw was 1.31 over three seasons, which they have seventh among wide receivers. When you break him down, the contested catches thing is kind of the calling card, but what are the routes he excels and thrives on? What are the things you would say if there are weaknesses? Like, to me, I wonder about separation and how you grade that, because oftentimes he's making the contested catches, but he's...
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's not necessarily separating.
Yeah, see, I think putting, like, early on in his career, you know, this is sometimes this happens with contested catches. Like wide receivers, we see the contested catch, like, he wasn't open. But there are points in the route where the guy is open and he gets thrown into a contested situation. And I think that was happening a lot, like, early on in his career. You know, a guy like Taylor Heinicke, I think, was a great example that just didn't have the arm to get it to McLaurin when he was down the field. Now, I do think as a separator, McLaurin is gone from being, like I said, about like a over 90th percentile player to right around last year. He was 79th percentile against man coverage. That is really, really good. Again, I still think from a separation standpoint, he gets open at all three levels. He also is a guy that, you know, again, when we're talking about the type of targets that he gets, it's a lot of downfield stuff, right? He runs a lot of nine routes. He runs a lot of deeper out routes, deeper dig routes as well. Those are some of the routes that he runs at a high volume. And that's obviously, again, going to put him into, like, it doesn't look like he's as open because it's more of those downfield targets. But I still think he's a very good separator. And also, you know, I think Cliff Kingsbury did a great job with the entire offense last year. And I know, like, some people hate to kind of keep harping on this, but I do wish that they moved McLaurin around the field a little bit more. He took 72.3% of his sample snaps and reception perception as the outside left receiver. I only have four seasons in reception perception history, that's 2014 to current, where a guy has taken over 70% of their sample snaps at one outside receiver position. One is McLaurin from last year, one is Nelson Aguilar's 2015 rookie season, and 2 years of DeAndre Hopkins' career in Arizona with Cliff Kingsbury. So that can sometimes, like, think back to the Eagles game, that Thursday night game where he got kind of shut out. It just makes it easier to defend that guy when you know where he's lining up on every single play. And actually, if you remove that game from the reception perception sample, his success rate versus zone coverage number actually jumps up by quite a bit. So, look, I mean, again, he's got to get open consistently, but also at the same time, I think they could do a better job, like, moving him around. So, I sort of understand some of Washington's hesitancy just because of the age. Like I mentioned, maybe a slight dip against man coverage last year. What's the next step in the decline for Terry McLaurin, if there is going to be one? I do understand that, but there are also teams that's working with a rookie contract and, you know, does have the space, I think, to kind of get this one done.
With Deebo Samuel added to the fold and an improved O-line, do you see a difference in the way that they would use McLaurin, assuming everything gets done, or do you think it's a little more of the same?
I think it's probably more of the same, and this is honestly one of the reasons where I feel like Washington has painted themselves in a little bit of a corner here with this, because the receiver room is just, I think it's too light to really be playing hardball with McLaurin now at this point when you have a rookie quarterback. Like, just again, look, I'm not Adam Peters. Adam Peters knows more about football than me, knows more about team building than me. That is for sure. But if it was me, I would not want to be messing around with the connection between my number one wide receiver and this second-year quarterback that is coming off a dynamic rookie season. I want to make his life as easy as possible in year two, better than it was in year one. I don't want to tie one hand behind his back, because I look at this wide receiver room, like, Deebo Samuel, now that is a player that you can see is in reception perception in clear decline. Like, we're picking nits at some of the McLaurin numbers, but this is a guy in Deebo Samuel that has definitely taken a big step back from being, like, a slightly below average man coverage player, but an elite zone beater, to an average zone beater and a poor receiver against man coverage at this point. Like, I think Deebo actually fits the offense well in some of the screens and horizontal routes, but I want that to be like a role player here, not a guy that is the featured receiver in the room. And then beyond that, they don't really have like another true perimeter presence here. I think we kind of want, you know, like Luke McCaffrey to maybe break out as a slot receiver. I think McCaffrey showed some decent things in isolation last year. But again, they just don't really have like another outside presence if McLaurin's not on this team.
Matt, it's great info. Really, really good insight. Love talking receivers with you. Thanks for hopping aboard.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. It's a fun team. I can't wait to see them play this year. So thank you guys for having me.
Of course. We'll catch up soon.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.